Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, dogs are in the headlines. There's a new airline called Bark, and a first-class dog uses the aisle as a restroom, causing a plane to have to divert in Texas. And Airbnb changes a cancellation policy. Those stories next in the news.
In our Smarter Travelers segment at 11:20, lots of yummy new food is coming to our airport, and we have wisdom on when to buy your tickets for summer travel.
An old friend, Ed Perkins, joins us at 11:35. Ed is a longtime consumer advocate and knows just about everything there is to know about traveling. We ask him what he sees in his travel crystal ball.
At 11:45, we introduce you to the Yacht Rock band, Yachtly Crew. And you might ask, what's Yacht Rock? Well, think Jimmy Buffett, Steely Dan, Christopher Cross. You'll find out more. That's Yacht Rock.
Yacht Rock. I knew that was going to be tough. The Yacht Rock band, Yachtly Crew. Sounds like my kind of music. Our odds and ends segment, 11:55, covers a list of tourist traps, restaurant junk fees, and a goodbye to the king of the Wheel of Fortune.
While raindrops are falling on our heads on a rainy Saturday, we thank you for spending some time with us here. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Well, if it's the travel and entertainment guys here on the radio, it must be Saturday morning at a little after 11 a.m. Thanks for coming along. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman. And, quite a contrast from last Saturday where it was sunny and everybody is outside barbecuing and wearing shorts to the ball games. And now...
Yeah, exactly. Old habits die hard. One of our listeners told me during the week last week, and I didn't listen to the tape yet, but I have no doubt that it's true, that we went through the headlines last week, and all of our headlines had to do with our old time.
Oh,
on
no.
On Sunday afternoon. They were all 3:15, 3:35, 3:50, stuff like that. So,
Hold on. You know what?
You looking at it? I'm the guy who writes it. It's not your fault.
In my stash of old scripts, son of a gun, look at there.
Yeah.
3:20. You're right here.
And we didn't even...
You look behind the scenes at 3:35.
Usually you catch it when I screw that up, or sometimes I'll catch it as I'm writing it, but, you know, I didn't catch it. We did the whole thing and didn't catch it anyways. He thought it was kind of funny. I said, well, we were just in a time warp. I want to mention something to folks about parking at the airport. Tuesday morning, I flew out on a flight that left about, when did we leave? About 10 o'clock. So I was there about 8:30 looking for a place to park. The garage was full. The only spaces in the daily lot were literally the very last row of the lot. And so there was economy space, but that was Tuesday morning at 8:30. And last year, I remember people telling us, well, you know, before the weekend, sometimes Wednesday afternoon or even Thursday, it'll fill up. So make sure you get there and have plenty of time in case you have to look around for a spot. So this was Tuesday morning. So my wisdom to folks here is that, if you're going to the airport and you have to park your car, if you're going to catch a 5 a.m. flight, you're fine because there's spaces from the night before. But if you're going any time after 7:30 or 8, it's possible that you might have to drive by the first lot or park in a faraway place, wait for a shuttle bus where you normally would have walked in. So just really a heads up as we head to the summer here. It's something that can bite you in the rear end, and don't you know it'll happen on the day when you already were really short on time and it was really tight and you get there and it's like, you know, you'll be muttering under your breath. So really the best piece of wisdom I can give you about traveling the whole summer is if you're taking an airplane from Sacramento, make sure you allow yourself plenty of time to find a parking space, especially if you're going after 7:30 in the morning.
Man, I am nice to certain people in my life so that they will give me a ride to the airport when I need one. You know, I mean, that's really the only way to go. You know, it's 35, what, 40 bucks to take an Uber.
Yeah.
But, you know, I buy a friend, a family member, a nice dinner out or something for that little trip.
Yeah, you maybe haven't taken an Uber from Rancho Cordova to the airport recently, but because it's a little bit more than that. But, yes, you're right about the buy a good friend a dinner or something like that. Of course, the other thing is that when that good friend goes on a trip, guess who they're going to call to take them to the airport?
I am totally in.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely.
You know, I just want folks to allow themselves a little, you know, the whole traffic thing of going through downtown Sacramento and stuff is a mess. My GPS sent me through Carmichael and the old 880 freeway and stuff to the airport because it literally was 10 minutes quicker at 8 o'clock in the morning. So, again, traffic patterns are getting back close to what they were pre-COVID, especially around the downtown area. And you get all that mess with Highway 50 and across the top there and stuff like that. So just a few extra minutes. You do us all a favor because then when you get to the airport, you're not going BS crazy because you don't have any time and anything that doesn't go your way causes an immediate problem. So just give yourself a few extra minutes. There's no reason for your vacation or your business trip to start with all of that stress. So
there you go. There you go. And it's still a little ways before we're going to have the flying bus shuttle from Mather Field to take you to the airport.
Yes, that's
all
true.
Right. Yeah, one of these days. All right, we are the Travel Guys, and at the top of every program, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with it, as always, here's Mark Hoffman.
Hey, didn't we, back to what we were just talking about for a second before we get to the news, didn't you tell me when we were talking before the program, I had to park in what you said was your favorite parking spot at the airport? What's your favorite parking spot?
Yeah, in the daily lot, you want to park all the way to the back where you ended up in the last row back there, because most people try to find all the parking places that are as close to where they enter, which is closest to the terminal. But if you go left and you go all the way to the back, you'll find lots and lots of parking spots generally. Yeah. And when you park there, the little pickup location where the bus stops and picks you up is just at the entrance when the bus first comes in. So you're like first on. Of course, there may be people there still needing to get off, but you're first on, and transversely at the end of your vacation or trip, you get dropped off first too. Yeah. So I like that spot rather than driving for 15 minutes to not find a parking spot.
Thank you for that parking travel tip. I was forced into that last row the other day, but when you mentioned it, I'm thinking now that heck, if I got to park 2/3 of the way back, I'll just go all the way back to the end back there. If you got plenty of time and you want a nice walk in the morning, that's fine. But when you come home in the evening, getting on the shuttle bus and getting off at the first stop is a cool thing. All right, enough of that. Travel news. Bark Air, a new airline designed for dogs, launches in May. Now, at least you have visions of 737s full of barking dogs. This is not quite the case. What this is an airline this is a company that is going to lease small private jets. And so you will be able to take your dog with you, and the dog can even sit in a seat. Heaven forbid. If you want to, dogs will be the boss. In fact, every dog ticket comes with a free companion ticket for a human to go with the dog. However, this is not for people weak in the wallet. Bark is going to charge, their first flights are going to be from Westchester Airport in New York State, just upstate from New York City, to Los Angeles and to London. It'll be $6,000 one way and $12,000 round trip. So Bark will not be for people with small wallets. And I don't know what we're going to do with kitty cats yet, but anyway, Bark Air is coming soon. If you have a lot of money, your dog can fly in absolute luxury. And then there's the other... go ahead.
They're not going to mix cats and dogs on that same flight.
No, it's just Bark for now. I'm guessing that their expansion will be Meow, which will...
There you go.
A little bit later. All right, and so here's another disgusting story that came up yesterday afternoon. you've heard of lots of reasons why flights have had to be diverted. Here's a new one. There was a dog traveling with someone in first class on a flight on United Airlines. It was going from Houston to Seattle, I believe. And the person let the, you know, dogs are not supposed to be out of their cages, out of their carriers. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. So the passenger let the dog out, and the dog did something bad on the floor of the first class cabin. And apparently it was something very bad, because after considerable efforts to clean it up, the first class people were kind of like losing their lunch because of the smell. And so the plane diverted, and they had to get a new airplane. This is not the first time this happened. Last year, Delta Airlines flight had to be diverted after a passenger relieved themselves in the aisle. But anyways.
Oh, my gosh.
Moving right along. Airbnb follows the poop here. Airbnb is changing. We talked about this a few weeks ago, but more details are out now. They're changing their extenuating circumstances policy. I'm not a frequent Airbnb user. So if you are, this is probably something that you'll want to check into and know about. What it's doing is it's changing the rule about where you're going. So where your rental is, if the weather is you know, if certain criteria is met, then you don't have to show up and you get a refund. However, the policy only applies to the events in the place where the reservation is located. Events that impact a guest's ability to travel to the reservation are no longer covered. So if you're in Sacramento and your flight gets canceled because bad weather in Denver keeps your plane from getting here, because you're going to Florida for your Airbnb, you're not off the hook. But if Florida has a hurricane and it's predicted in advance and it meets certain criteria, then you don't have to go to Florida. So I know that's complicated, but if you're an Airbnb person, it may help you in some ways and not help you in others. It seems kind of contradictory to me, but perhaps it will make more sense to Airbnb users. We've talked about people in Venice and people in Hawaii, other destinations being a little bit tired of tourism, getting more tourists than they can handle. Put the people in the Canary Islands on that list now. They are calling for a hunger strike by locals to protest against over-tourism that they say is pricing them out. The number of tourists visiting the Canary Islands has gone up 50% in the last 6 years, and people who live there say there's no affordable housing left. Everything is either a vacation rental or affordable housing is being torn down for more tourist accommodations. There's no place for them to live. There's no place for them to eat. And even if you could find a place to live, it is prohibitively expensive. This sounds familiar, I'm sure, because there are people in other destinations who have brought this up, but the people in the Canary Islands have kind of had enough. And what this really points out is that if you're going on vacation somewhere, remember that wherever you are, it's somebody else's home. So if you go someplace and you act like an idiot and you trash the place literally or figuratively, how would you feel if somebody came and did that in your front yard? You wouldn't be happy at all. So, you know, we have to show each other a little consideration, I think, when we're traveling, and that's what some of this is addressing. Big numbers is one thing. People who can't behave themselves is entirely another. Travel agent groups are sounding an alarm over American Airlines sales strategy. Just to remind you, within a couple of weeks, if you don't buy your airline ticket from American Airlines directly or one of their approved agencies, you are not going to be able to get miles for your travel. The travel agencies and advisors really think this is a bad step. I couldn't agree with them more, but in the 90s, airlines did away entirely with commissions for travel agents, and there was a lot of hullabaloo over that, and the airlines stood their ground, and travel agents had to figure out another way to make that chunk of cash. I'm going to suggest to you that American has thought this out, and unless there's really a huge uproar and they see it costing them business, they'll probably stand by their ground here. Oakland has taken the first step to rename their airport to change it to San Francisco Bay Oakland International Airport. They feel like they're losing some business from folks who don't know how convenient they are to San Francisco. The people at San Francisco International Airport are not pleased. Not even marginally pleased. I suspect you will hear more about this later. But anyway, Oakland is trying to brand themselves a little bit more San Francisco. Boeing has paid Alaska Airlines $160 million in the wake of the 737 MAX incidents, including where the door panel flew off. The reason they're doing this is because Alaska's losing a lot of money because they have planes that are grounded or planes that they're not getting. that are new because of this, so Boeing is compensating them. They are also going to be writing checks to United Airlines. Not a good time to own Boeing stock. And here's a story at the end that we'll talk about more next week. People sneaking past the TSA is, quote, a larger problem than we realize, agency says. Talk about clickbait. When you read through the story, you find out that last year, 300 people apparently got through security at an airport without being TSA screened. 300 for the whole year. That means one per day throughout the whole system. I get clickbaited here. That's what happened. The TSA said it's a little bigger problem than they realized. But one person per day getting through the system across the whole country, I'm going to suggest to you that's not. And, you know, they're putting in now these doors like we have in Sacramento, where you have to pass through a series of doors, which makes it extremely difficult for somebody to get into a non-secure area. Anyways, I just thought that was kind of interesting. They got the travel guy with the clickbait there. 300 people, my goodness, that must be awful. Until I thought about it, and then I thought, well, you know, that's really not a problem at all. And that is your travel news for today.
I'm pretty excited about talking about what's coming to the Sacramento International Airport. Food's a big deal. I like to go out and have a breakfast, especially obviously if I'm traveling out in the morning. The Esquire Grill, an old Perigary's place. I don't know if he's still on it, but I always like to go there and have a little breakfast, a little Bloody Mary. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's not a business trip I'm headed on. So, that's important. I think good food at airports is important. What are you hearing, Mark?
Well, we tell people specifically, you know, get to the airport early. I mean, at the top of the show, we're talking about the parking being an issue. So what we're saying is allow yourself plenty of time. Well, you allow yourself that extra 15, 20 minutes, and now you get to the airport, and you didn't have a problem parking, so now you got some extra time on your hands when you get into the terminal. And if you're flying United, Delta, American especially, the choices are really limited over there in the old terminal. The terminal's wonderful. I mean, it's got lots of space and lots of room, but there just aren't very many choices. And now that the airlines have thrown out the old nothing leaves before 6 a.m. rule and changed it to the nothing leaves before 5 a.m. rule, between 5 and 6, and remember, if a flight leaves at 5:10, it starts boarding at 4:40, so somebody's got to be open at 4 o'clock where I can get a cup of coffee or a breakfast sandwich or, you know, there's the one place in Terminal A, Pete's Coffee, that usually has a line of, you know, that's 20 or 30 minutes long, and the Starbucks in the other terminal is the same way. So the airport people know this, and they've known it for a while, and we've talked about it before. And so what they've done is they've put out new contracts. They've changed the way that vendors are going to pay for being at the airport, and so that may help. I'm not going to go into great detail there, but there's been some changes. And also, there are going to be 13 upgrades or new vendors coming into the two terminals. So this won't happen overnight. Obviously, it's going to be a gradual process, but I think it will significantly improve the food situation. Cafe Bernardo is coming in. A place says small regional purveyors like West Coast Sourdough, Sidewalk Juice, Bambooza Vietnam, Kitchen and Bar will have locations in both terminals. So it sounds like that the food situation is about to get better, and let's hope that they also will get those guys to open early enough in the morning to handle that early morning crowd.
Now, is this mostly in Terminal A, or is this both?
No, both terminals. So I don't think when they say 13 new locations, count up the food vendors in the two terminals. I don't think it adds up to anything more than 13. So that tells me that
there you go.
We're basically going to see a complete, if you're staying, you're overhauling things, and if not, why, you're being replaced by somebody who's going to come in with a little bit different concept. But we'll see how that works for them. We talked at the top of the show about the parking thing. And I don't want to spend forever on it, but just know that, gosh darn it, allowing yourself enough time at the airport is really, really important. And the parking thing in Sacramento is just, when I went out there Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock, I did not expect to see the garage lights say full. And it was very obvious to me as I came along. I always look as I'm pulling up, because I park in the surface lot, you know, where are the open spaces? And my goodness, there were a few in the very back, and then there was nothing. And there's all these people who were driving up and down, you know, thinking they're going to find the one spot that nobody else has found, not realizing that somebody just did that 45 seconds ago. Anyways, new food at the airport is definitely coming. And one other thing I wanted to talk to for just a moment here, address, if you're planning on traveling this summer, try to make you a little smarter traveler. Airfares right now are actually down below last summer, but demand is really high. So if you plan on traveling this summer and you know when you're going to go, my advice to you is check out the airfares and consider buying the tickets now, because I don't think they are cheaper generally than they were last year. I don't think you're going to see any flash sales or anything. Airlines are not getting new deliveries from Boeing. They're not starting new routes. They're having to kind of cut things and be within themselves. So buy your tickets now, or at least do your shopping now. Make yourself a smarter traveler so if fares start to go up, you can make your move.
It's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, always brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Don't forget now, links to our special guests can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com, along with a lot of other great information to make you a smarter traveler. If you've been a longtime listener of the Travel Guys, you're going to be familiar with our next guest, Ed Perkins, nationally acclaimed travel writer. And it's been a while since we've had Ed on, and I'm so glad to connect back up with you. Ed, welcome back to the Travel Guys.
Well, it's nice to be back with you, and that you know things are still going well.
They are. Ed is in southern Oregon, around Ashland, right, Ed?
Well, not anymore. I'm in Medford.
Medford, okay. Still kind of sort of the same neighborhood, though.
Oh, yeah, very much.
Yeah, yeah.
Same airport.
Ed and I got acquainted without him knowing it. Ed used to write the Consumer Reports travel newsletter, and was it a business newsletter, Ed, or for a general audience? I forget.
It was a consumer audience. Yeah, it was what Consumer Reports does generally for refrigerators and cars and that kind of thing. We were doing for them. The travel business.
Mm-hmm. Is Consumer Reports still around, Ed?
Consumer Reports is. The Travel Letter is not.
I thought we would talk a little bit with you today about what you see looking into your crystal ball for travel. A lot has happened post-COVID. A lot is still happening. We've just recently done an interview about flying cars. So I'd love to hear what Ed Perkins, you've been around the travel industry a long time, my friend. And what do you see coming down the road for us here that in your crystal ball?
Technologically speaking, I have a big question mark about those flying cars. The idea sounds fine until you picture a couple thousand of them circling around in the air without having any positive air traffic control. And a fender bender at 5,000 feet is going to be a lot worse than a fender bender on the ground. So I don't know. I'm not as enthusiastic as some people are about that concept. Technically speaking, I think one of the most important things you're going to see, an ongoing switch to facial recognition as your basic ticket for darn near anything, that as long as they get what they think is a sure thing positive view of you are who you say you are, you won't need a ticket, you won't need any piece of paper, you won't need an app, because it'll all be in a computer linked to your image. And that's starting to happen already in a few places.
This past week in Eureka, California, stone's throw from where you are, over the mountains there, that was my first experience at TSA with facial recognition, Tom, just as our friends at TSA had told us was coming. Well, it's already in the Eureka Arcata Airport. And indeed, you walked up and you didn't hand them your boarding pass or anything. You just stood in front of the camera, took your picture, and they said, oh, you're Mark Hoffman.
Wow.
And you're on United Flight such and such.
Exactly. And that's, if it's handled correctly, it could make things easier.
Anything else, Ed, that you see in your crystal ball there in regards to air travel?
Well, I think with regard to the airlines, the basic experience is going to be more of the same. I mean, people, we're going to be flying around in 737s and A320 derivatives for as long as the eye can see. And, you know, it's just it's going to be a while before either Airbus or Boeing comes up with a brand new airplane.
And I wanted to ask you, you've gotten onto airplanes here and Boeing and stuff like that. Again, you have a lot of experience in this industry. You've seen a lot of things develop over the years. There are little airplane problems every day. Are we just hearing about more of them now because of the emphasis on Boeing? In other words, should travelers be concerned about all of these stories about things falling off of airplanes or stuff and things like this? Or is this just something that the news media has hopped on to? Or do we have a maintenance problem with airplanes?
Well, it's some of each. Yes, the media is overhyping this. Air travel right now is the safest it's ever been, and by far the safest form of long-haul travel. I mean, Amtrak's killed more people than airlines over the last few years. So the airlines overall are safe. And having said that, it's also true that the Boeing company, in particular, has run itself into some serious problems. And that is that for too long they've decided that meeting Wall Street's expectation of profit is more important than meeting a consumer's expectation of safety. They've changed the company's culture, and it's going to take a major reboot to get back to where it was. And everybody seems to agree with that, but nobody knows just how to get it done. So that's going to be a problem. I don't think it's going to be over anytime within the next year yet.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring that up because we were just talking last week in a story about Uber, about how they have emphasized making their stockholders whole and have created a situation where their relationship with their drivers is not where it used to be. And it, once again, just as you've pointed out with Boeing, the almighty stock price has perhaps had more relevance than it deserves and has impacted the consumer experience considerably. Anything else you'd like to add to us before we head down the road here?
Well, the other thing is always the negative stuff. Despite the President Biden's pronouncement about being against junk fees, we see more of them rather than fewer of them. That's going to take, again, some real work at the federal and state level to get rid of the concept of junk fees. And to me, that means a real junk fee is one that you have to pay whether or not you use whatever the junk fee is supposed to cover. And they're rife in the travel industry. And as I've said before, nothing travels faster than a bad idea in the travel business.
We've been talking Perkins. Ed is in Southern Oregon. Ed is a longtime friend of the Travel Guys, and we have been negligent in not catching up with him for two or three years here at least. So, Ed, thank you for your time and back on the program. And I'm going to watch your news feeds. And if you get something that you'd like to share with our listeners, why, drop me a little note and we'll have you back on in no time flat.
I got your email. I'll do that.
All right. Thank you. Ed Perkins from Medford, Oregon, joining us here on the Travel Guys.
You know, one of the greatest things, or I don't know, interesting things that he said, and I'm going to park this and use it, and that is that nothing travels faster in the travel world than a bad idea.
And Ed has been around for a while. I didn't want to embarrass him while we were in the middle of the interview, but I will tell our listeners off the air here, Ed is 94 years old. And you would not know that by listening to him. I mean, he's sharp as a tack, and he's been doing this forever. And that's what makes him so valuable, is he has this resource of all of these things that he's seen happen over time. You know, most of these things have happened before, and they've had an outcome, and he can share with us what that is. So anyway, it was great to connect with him, and we will have him back on again.
Not too long ago, I heard somebody talking about yacht rock, and it took me a while to kind of figure out what they were talking about. And so we had an opportunity to catch up with a group that's going to be traveling to Northern California, Sacramento, Roseville area here over the next few months. And so we sat down with the lead singer and had some yachtly crew chat. Hey there, Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, and no, that's not Christopher Cross, my friends, in the background. That, my friends, is the Yachtly Crew. I'm going to spend some time today in the entertainment section of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Joining us on the program is Philly Ocean. He's the lead singer and one of the main guys in a very, very popular yacht rock band. Welcome to the show, Philly.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
First of all, let's, for those that aren't familiar with yacht rock, or certainly, you know, the Yachtly Crew, give us a little background. When did this yacht rock thing get started, and tell me what it is?
So we have been around since 2017, and I always like to tell people, if they don't know the term yacht rock, you actually already know what yacht rock is. It's all of your favorite kind of guilty pleasure music from the late 70s, early 80s. Like you just mentioned, Christopher Cross, Steely Dan, Toto, Holland Oates, that kind of vibe. That's what makes up yacht rock. It's the feel-good, soft rock hits that you know the words to already, and it's such a fun genre of music to play because people come out and they sometimes haven't heard these songs in 30-plus years, but they're right back to when they heard them. It's such nostalgia, and it's such fun.
You know, I've watched your sizzle reel of interviews and pieces of music, and you guys look like you are a lot of fun to see live. Tell us a little bit about your performance, what people can expect when they go to a Yachtly Crew show.
Yeah, well, so we're all performers at heart. We're passionate entertainers, and we put a tremendous amount of energy into our performances. And that's kind of one of the things that, you know, we've been, like I said, we've been doing this since 2017. And in those 7 years, we've really built up a really incredible fan base of people. You know, we've been playing up in the Sacramento area now for the past couple of years. And every time we come up there, our shows sell out. We're going to be playing at Goldfields Trading Post in Roseville. And that is April 26th and 27th. And this is, I think, the third time we've been at that venue for two nights, and both nights have sold out. And the people of Sacramento love yacht rock. They know what we're all about. But if you're just hearing this for the first time, you know, you can check out our website. We're also going to be at the Backyard in Sacramento in August, late August. Man, it's just such a high-energy show, and people show up wearing captain's hats and dressed like sailors, and they get all into it. They pregame at home. It's a blast.
You have a new EP out with a handful of songs. One of them's got an original on it, and we're going to dip into that in a moment. But you're on a Jimmy Buffett connection here. You're on a Jimmy Buffett label, are you not?
Yes, we are. We're on Jimmy Buffett's Mailboat Records. Jimmy signed us to that before, you know, about a year before he passed, sadly, and we miss him. But we're honored that we get to kind of carry the torch of his music and his legacy, and he kind of knew that we were up to the same thing, that we were creating a culture of good vibes and people coming together around fun, lighthearted music. And you know, he was a great man. He gave us an amazing opportunity. Our EP is called Seize the Day. It's got six songs on it, and one of them is an original that we wrote. And the original is called Sex on the Beach, and we wrote this song to really fit in with the vibe and the feel of this 70s and 80s soft rock.
Well, while we're talking about it, let's dive into this a little bit. First of all, folks, seize the day is S-E-A-S, of course, to stay
That's
with
right.
the nautical theme of the band and the music. The Sex on the Beach song has a passage in it where, you know, the song's about meeting a gal and, you know, and you're offering to buy her a drink. And you mentioned to her that, you know, is there something you like? And if you don't, here's a list of choices. Now, I'm going to run these by you here real quick. We're going to play this, and then I want you to tell me what these drinks were if you can't pick them up in the lyrics of the song. So here it comes. This is a little snippet from Sex on the Beach. Love the title.
Don't know what you want. Here's a few you could try. You could have a dollar store.
I love how you do the hook in the falsetto Sex on the Beach. Okay, give me the list of offerings, beverage-wise.
So So the first one is Dark and Stormy. That's a rum-based cocktail. It's got, like, lime juice and ginger beer. It's very tropical in nature, hence the rum. And it's a really, really great cocktail. So Dark and Stormy, daiquiri. Everybody knows daiquiri. A margarita, that's a classic. Or martini, you could do a gin martini, or you could do a vodka martini, whatever your choice. A French Connection is a little bit of a lesser-known cocktail.
Yeah, what's that?
So the French Connection cocktail, that is, what is that one? I think that one is a gin-based cocktail as well.
Philly Ocean, a.k.a. Philip Daniel. Philip, I noticed that all of your members of the band have kind of yachty names. I don't know what the
that's
term.
Right.
Clever names. Give me the rundown of the band.
Yeah, that's all part of it, right? So we all want to establish our own stage personas and our own stage names. So as you said, I'm Philly Ocean. Then we have Baba Booey on the bass guitar, Tommy Booey on lead guitar, Paulie Shores on saxophone, Stony Shores on the synthesizers, Matthew McDonald on the keyboards and synths. And then, of course, Sailor Hawkins on the drums.
Our special guest is Philly Ocean, lead singer, a.k.a. Philip Daniel, with the Yachtly Crew coming to Roseville on the 26th and 27th of this month at the Goldfield Trading Post, and then again in August 30th in Sacramento at the Backyard. Thank you for spending a little bit of time with the Travel and Entertainment guys, Phil. You guys enjoy yourselves. It sounds like you do on a regular basis, and we look to see you in Roseville before you know it.
We sure do, and we're honored. Thank you so much for the time and for the support.
When you first suggested these guys for an interview, I thought, oh no, what would that be? But that was really interesting, and I didn't know what yacht rock was. I mean, obviously, when you tell me what it is, then I know. But that was pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, it was fun. They're a fun band. People like to go out and enjoy music they're familiar with. Cover bands are really a big deal right now. Everywhere you turn, there's another band there's a place, a group called Petty Theft. And, of course, they do Tom Petty cover bands. And yeah. I'm actually making a plan to go see them. So, Mark, what do you think? Mark Sailaway?
By the way, did we tell people that at Travel Guys Radio there's a link to the band? And so they're going to play in Roseville and I think in Sacramento at different times. So if you want to, if that sounds like your thing, it might be a nice way to go out and do something, you know, maybe a little bit different. So, anyhow.
There you go. And here again, the link probably will have a link to a chance to listen to a little compilation of the kind of stuff they do to see if it's something that you might enjoy. But I think it would be.
Yeah.
It's some wholesome, clean, American fun.
All right. Some odds and ends here to wrap out what has truly been the Travel and Entertainment Guys this week. We were talking about Sacramento Airport and all of the parking problems and stuff like that, and the importance of going out there early. There is a second parking garage coming, so it's going to be over on the other side by Terminal B there, by the temporary Terminal B parking now. It's going to take a little while, but the reason it's worthy of mentioning is they awarded the contract to Auto Construction. Now, I don't know if you know that name or not, but Auto Construction is a family-owned company that's been around Sacramento since the 1940s.
Wow.
So, and I don't have any idea what the bidding, I'm sure it was very competitive, and open to lots of people and stuff like that, and I have no idea what the criteria was or anything, but it makes me really happy that a really big construction project at our airport is going to be done by a company that's been around town for a long time. I just,
that's great.
To me, I just think that's, you know, I don't know what that has to do with travel, but I just think it's a good deal. So kudos to the airport folks, and good luck to the folks at Auto Construction. That's going to be the mock-up of it shows. What did you say it was, 6,000 parking spaces?
6,500, it seems to me, was the number that they had mentioned in the TV broadcast that I saw. It's going to be at an enormous facility. Like you say, just to the left of Terminal B as you get ready to head up the ramp to drop somebody off. But, yeah.
It's going to be a while, though, before it's done. Doesn't say in the press release when it's going to happen. $390 million, so it's about a third of the whole dollars for the whole airport improvement project out there that they have.
Yeah, that's probably 3-4 years. You know, we know somebody.
Yeah. We could ask that question. Yeah.
We could ask those people that get on the air with us here that are actually from the airport.
I think we could probably get an update on that. Hey, listen, here's an article from a poll by someone called PhotoAid, a passport processing service, did a tourist trap list. There's seven on them. Let's do them from the bottom up. Seventh on the list. Ben and Jerry's Ice Cream Factory in Vermont. Now, they're saying if you go to these places, this is, you know, these are the places. They're not only crowded, but you will find ridiculous prices that you never imagined. So Ben and Jerry's, which is one of my favorite places, I will tell you, in Vermont. Graceland, you know, Elvis's old place. Graceland is sixth on the list. Pike Place Market in Seattle makes their list. One of my favorite places to go, and I will confess, yeah, nothing is cheap there. Calico Ghost Town, which was built by Walter Knott. It's in Southern California. Those of you who live down there probably have visited there. The International UFO Museum and Research Center. Don't know where that is. But the number one and
Nevada,
two on
the, probably.
The number one and two on the list, Winchester Mystery House is second, and Fisherman's Wharf is first.
Oh my gosh.
Biggest tourist traps, these guys claim, in the country. So anyways, wow. I thought that was kind of entertaining since some of the California people were on there. Restaurant junk fees are apparently popping up all over, but our friends at Travelers United are doing something about it. They are suing a group of restaurants in Washington, D.C. who added a 5% service charge. Nothing, doesn't go to the help. They just arbitrarily add it onto the bills. It doesn't tell you on the menus that it's going to happen. So they are going after, and they have made it known that they are looking for other people. So go, Charlie, and our friends at Travelers United. They are sticking up for us by going after restaurants. And finally, goodbye to Pat Sajak. They taped the final Wheel of Fortune episode last week. Vanna White was one of the contestants. So anyways, good luck to Mr. Sajak. In the future, he's been on the air a long time. Dance like nobody's watching, and I'll see you next week.